You're listening to SBS News.
At the United Nations General Assembly in New York, Senator Penny Wong has been clear in her support for Ukraine as it remains under siege from Russian forces. Her Ukrainian counterpart, Dmytro Kuleba, has requested additional military assistance, including more Bushmaster vehicles and up to 12 howitzers. The Foreign Minister says Australia will do what it can.
Obviously, there is always more we could do, and the government will continue to look at ways we can support the people of Ukraine. I would make the point that we have already made a very substantial contribution both in humanitarian assistance and military assistance.
But her presence in New York is not just about Ukraine. It's also about resetting relationships. Number one is China. Plans are underway for the foreign minister to meet her Chinese counterpart Wang Yi, their second meeting in 3 months.
In terms of China, I've made clear that, you know, we are open to engagement. I understand those arrangements are being finalised. And if they are finalised, then I'm sure that we will have a productive engagement. What I would say to you is our position, whether in the meeting or outside of the meeting, remains consistent in relation to Australia's national interests.
The government is also still trying to smooth things over with the French. Defence Minister Richard Marles has been reviewing a Scott Morrison decision to scrap almost 50 Taipan helicopters and replace them with US-made Black Hawks. But the French government has a stake in Taipan's manufacturer Airbus, which is leading to some concern that the relationship could be in some jeopardy again after Australia's sudden cancellation of a $90 billion submarine contract strained ties. Mr. Marles has told the ABC he's confident the relationship with France is moving forward.
It was the lack of honesty in the past which has got things off the rails. We need to be completely straight with France about the processes that we're going through and what's being considered, and that's what we are doing.
The government also appears to be trying to mend fences with the Indigenous community. The Foreign Minister has announced plans to appoint a First Nations ambassador as part of Australia's foreign policy team. Senator Patrick Dodson says he supports the plan.
The importance of a voice within these halls and in these structures parallels the work that we in Australia are doing about a voice to the Parliament and the need for First Nations voices to be heard in the way we go about reforming and resetting the relationships within our country.
Another relationship ripe for reset is with the disability community. The minister responsible for the National Disability Insurance Scheme says an oversight committee will be formed to look at a huge backlog of cases. There are just under 4,000 cases yet to be heard by the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. Minister Bill Shorten says the numbers seeking external review of planning decisions indicate the whole process has become punitive and unaccountable.
I get that sometimes there'll be disagreements in the scheme, but in my opinion, especially in recent years, the scheme was being managed not by sensible planning decisions or internal review, but rather by reference to the AAT. And that was just a dumb, terrible way to manage the scheme. I think there's been an overuse of external lawyers, and it's created a David and Goliath sort of struggle.
As some members of the disability community fight for support, a spotlight is also being shone on the challenges faced in finding work opportunities. A Senate inquiry has been hearing evidence about employment assistance programs, which are meant to encourage employers to take on job seekers with disability. But People with Disability Australia board member Claire Ghibellini has testified that the programs are underfunded and ineffective.
In my experience, amongst the people that I've supported, I have found that it's not a particularly effective scheme. I haven't seen a lot of on-the-ground evidence of the funding, you know, things like wage subsidies and things like that, actually being developed into something that looks like support.
She says the disability employment services sector is also largely ineffective. It's been estimated around half of those who receive Centrelink job seeker payments are actually sick or disabled, and the sector is meant to be a way for them to access the job market. But Ms. Ghibellini says the people who work for the providers often don't have the time, the training, or the inclination to find their clients appropriate work, and it's the job seekers who end up paying the price.
I worked with a young man in the southwest of WA who was an absolutely brilliant pastry chef. He took himself off to TAFE, but kept getting sent for jobs pushing trolleys at Woolworths rather than accessing the multiple wineries and restaurants and cafes that you could find in the Margaret River region. There doesn't seem to be a drive to actually be invested in people.
The Centrelink system looks set to dominate in the news in the coming days and weeks. A royal commission into the so-called robo-debt scandal gets underway in Brisbane next week, with an initial public hearing to be held on Tuesday. Meanwhile, for those already in the workforce, childcare costs have been a massive issue. The price of childcare has jumped 41% in the past 8 years. The federal government has now announced almost $11 million will be set aside in the budget for a year-long Australian Competition and Consumer Commission inquiry into the sector. Finance Minister Katie Gallagher.
I don't think it's that clear at the moment about what are those drivers. You know, childcare costs go up, families have to meet them. We've got our policies that are about lowering childcare fees, but understanding the drivers of those increases is really important.
Labor isn't waiting for the results of the review to get moving on their childcare agenda. Education Minister Jason Clare says he'll be introducing legislation next week to lift the maximum childcare subsidy rate to 90% for a family's first child in care. The move's expected to cut out-of-pocket costs for 96% of families with children in care. Jason Clare says it's not just about helping parents, it's also about Australia's economic future.
For every dollar we invest in early childhood education, it creates $2 for our economy. That's why when people say that investing in childcare is welfare, they're wrong. This is economic reform.
Deborah Grawke, SBS News.